Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Did you notice how I conveniently left Major League Baseball playoff scores out of my sports? I can't do it.
Nobody wants to hear it.
No.
There's like two people out there who want to hear it. The rest of us.
Well, the Royals beat the Yankees. We can jump on that. There, that was a fun one yesterday. The Tigers got a win over Cleveland. If you really want to know, Mets and Phillies series is tied at a game apiece.
And aren't some of the Chiefs talking about how they've got a little time off and now they want to see a Royals game?
Yeah.
So if you're staying on top of that. And then, by the way, Taylor Swift was back at the games.
Right. Think they'll she'll show up at a Royals game?
She had glitter freckles on last night. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, apparently it is.
Glitter freckles.
What a perfect segue to Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com. His nickname is Glitter Freckles. He joins us on the line right now. Hey, Adam.
He's like, I'm out after that.
Maybe Adam just hung up on us because of the whole glitter freckles thing. So, Adam, I know this. He is working his way through some stories here that ended the Brewers season and start to look ahead to next year. And it's part of what I want to ask him is just how different is this soup going to taste next year, right? You know, yeah, the stock is going to be the same. A lot of ingredients are going to be the same, but the soup always tastes a little bit different when you go to your favorite restaurant. So that is to say some ingredients are going to be different.
Well, and the other thing, too, is especially after listening to what you experienced last week inside the locker room after that final game when we knew and the Brewers, the players, the coach, the fans, everybody knew that our season was done. What exactly was that? I'm interested to find out if he has any new details.
Yeah, we bring in Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com. Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Happy to have you on the line here under these circumstances. We should be previewing Game 3 of the NLDS. I know it's painful here. It really is. But I want to go back to a shared experience that you and I had that you and I had not talked about, and that was the post-game locker room clubhouse experience. For me, Adam, that was different than any sort of end of season loss in the playoffs experience in the clubhouse. Was it for you? You've covered more of these than I have, but it felt very different to me.
Oh, for sure. The one that stands out to me, if we're talking about past, I mean, I wasn't there in 82, but I know that team was devastated. You've seen the documentary and you can tell that Robin Yount, I mean, that still eats at him like every day. That they didn't win the World Series. But I remember 2011. Remember Prince Fielder's kids in there? And they were little. Now the kid is playing in the Brewers minor league system, his oldest son. That was really devastating because that team was pretty special and was built to win the World Series. This one was a different kind of team. But look, it's Uke. Uke is not going to call baseball games forever. And I think the reality of that hits home a little bit when somebody is 90 years old and those guys love him and he's been a part of the team for so long. And it was really touching when Devin Williams was sitting there head down, felt terrible about giving up a homer on a changeup of all things. And you came up and put an arm around him. And, you know, I wrote this, I can't repeat what you said, but you know, if you saw Forrest Gump, two words that wound up on a bumper sticker, that those were Uke's words of wisdom to Devin Williams. It was the perfect thing to say because what are you going to do? Your best pitcher throws his best pitch and a guy hit it out. And I think the guys were really enjoying just a little bit of time with Uke and Christian Yelich was very emotional. And look, hopefully he does 81 home games next year, but it's just everybody knows, you know, at some point, hopefully he goes out and does some fishing, too.
Yeah.
And who knows how much longer he'll be on the mic. And I think that was hitting home for a lot of guys.
I just wonder, though, was there something different? Did they hear something more? Because exactly what you said is spot on. But we could have had those feelings last year, too. Like, what made it? I know he's another year older, but was there anything else? And maybe we can't reveal that at that point, and that's fair if we can't. But is there anything else to that, or is it indeed just one more year?
Well, it's one more year, and look, you did fewer games this year, right? You guys would have the count better than I do because he's on your air, but there are days where he'd come in and do the Pat Murphy show, and that was his contribution to the broadcast. And then there were days where he was great, and he called the game, and he, And to have him call all of those Jackson Turio moments is so cool. And if Jackson Turio has the kind of career that the Brewers think he could have, imagine 20 years from now, you know, when maybe he's at the end of that career, and you can look back and listen to Bob Uecker calling a Jackson Turio Grand Slam or a Jackson Turio triple on the day they clinched the division. Those are going to be very treasured pieces of Brewers history because of what Uke means to the organization and what Jackson Turio could mean to the organization. And I think that's just the reality is Uke did fewer games this year. So maybe it becomes a little bit more of a reality of like, look, at some point he hopefully enjoys a little retirement. He's always said he's going to do the job until he can't do the job anymore. And it's going to have to be up to Uke to decide when that is, and then to tell us all when that is, and everybody else just enjoy the moments that we have listening to him call games, because he's still great on the radio, which is so special. Like, I hope we all have the same experience as we get older to be great at what we do for as long as he has been. And his partners revere him. They love working with him. They love the dinners before the game, and even on nights he doesn't call the game, they sometimes get to have some time together. All those memories, I think, are going to be forever. And I think everybody was just enjoying the moment while they're all together. That's the best way I would put it.
I thought it was very telling that well over an hour and a half after the game, Bob Uecker and Robin Yount were still in the Brewers clubhouse.
Yeah,
Bob didn't want to leave, and Robin didn't want to leave Bob's side. That was my big takeaway.
And I'll tell you, I heard from one of the veteran players, you know, in 2018, I don't know if this is the first time they did it, but it started this stretch. They voted Bob a playoff share. The veteran players get together at the end when they're in the postseason, and they have to decide how to divvy up the pool of money that teams and that players get through the Players Association for making the postseason. And it's receipts from tickets sold and TV and all that kind of stuff. And it's a big chunk of change. And for somebody, a player even, a rookie player, or especially a trainer, a clubhouse attendant, a PR guy, to get a piece or a full share is a very big deal. It changes their whole year. And the players voted Uke a share starting in 2018, and every year they've made the postseason since, and Bob has donated that money to charity. And when they make a deep run, it's a big chunk of change. And it meant so much to him when I talked to him about his job. And, you know, he's not just a broadcaster. He really has been part of the team. And I think that gesture is as clear a sign as any. And they did it again this year. So some charity is going to get a nice donation because of Bob's connection to the players, and his role is just being one of the guys in the clubhouse.
That's fantastic. And this might sound weird, but I feel like a lot of fans just feel like he's family. When you listen to him, you know, on the broadcast and making those calls year after year, I feel like it feels like family to a lot of people.
Well, and look, I'm one of them, right? I mean, you guys have memories too. Sophia Minert and I sat down with Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle and Josh Maurer for a podcast that we're going to put out, just kind of them sharing some stories about Uke, and hopefully we'll splice together some calls as they're telling their stories. But you do have that feeling of a connection to him. And mine is being, 9 years old in 1987 in my grandmother's backyard on Easter Sunday, where it was like shockingly warm. So he said after dinner, why don't we just go sit outside for a little bit, and had the ball game on and heard you call those two home runs that are such a part of the history. I mean, I have a memory of that like it was 2 days ago. And surely it played some part in the reason I love baseball growing up and wanted to work in baseball and went to journalism school to try to get a job in baseball, and then got really lucky and got a job in baseball. It all traces back to that connection you have to the game, and it's through Uke. It's through him calling games on summer nights on the radio. There's something really special about that. And there have been, you know, for maybe an older generation, all across the country, there were these men who called these games, and they were a part of your lives. And, you know, whether you were in St. Louis with Jack Buck or, you know, wherever you were around the country, in L.A. with, you just had this connection to the broadcasters who called these games. And Uke is that guy here, and he is one of the last of that generation of broadcasters that did it for decades and decades and decades. And I think we all should feel really lucky that we had this summer and look, hopefully many more summers of him calling those games and continuing to be that connection, because it is not something that exists around the country like it used to.
Adam, I can ask you a quick team question here. Just I was talking to Jessica before when we were getting you on the line. As Craig Council used to say, the soup is going to taste different next year. I'm going to give you two player names. Tell me if you think they'll be back or not. It's Rhys Hoskins and Willy Adames.
Well, Rhys Hoskins, I would say yes. He controls that. It's like a player opt-out, like a player option. And I think based on the year he had, wanting to legitimately play for a winning team, to fit here, the ballpark, I think there's a lot of reasons for him to exercise that and come back and then go into free agency and get maybe, you know, one more longer contract as a player. Willy Adames, I mean, you have to be realistic. And look, Matt Arnold, Mark Attanasio, they could go through the dance where they talk about, you know, we're going to do everything we can to bring him back. They are going to do everything they can to bring him back. The reality is, and you look at shortstops in the last two, three off seasons who've signed these mega contracts. Willy Adames is going to get a huge contract. He's earned it.
Yeah.
He played every day, 30-plus homers, incredible clubhouse guy who played a unspeakably large role in Jackson Chourio's success at 20 years old. You can't put a dollar figure on that. He did everything right, and he deserves every dollar he's going to get. From the Brewers' point of view, if you take the emotion out of it, should the Brewers invest what it would take to bring Willy Adames back? And I think if you're a fan and you really look at it logically, I think there's an argument that when they have Bryce Terang on the roster, they have Joey Ortiz on the roster, these are the next generation of potential shortstops for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's probably time to invest that playing time in those players. So I would be very surprised if Willie's back. I'm sure there will be an offer. And I'm sure he's going to get some massive offer somewhere else that he's earned every dollar of and go play somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I hope fans greet him warmly if he comes back. I would be completely shocked if he is back with the Brewers. And look, I actually give the Brewers credit for kind of not doing the song and dance and sort of being realistic about the economics of this particular situation.
Adam, it's been a treat having you all season long. We'll definitely
check in
throughout the course of the off season, and once we get through spring training, we'll crank it back up again. Having you has been a treat for us all season long.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to call you on Tuesdays just to hear some meatloaf. And you know where I am, and I can do this anytime. So anytime you want to talk Brewers, call and ease my boredom.
That sounds
fantastic.
Good, Adam. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's 11:50 on WTMJ. Good stuff. Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com.